Harry had a little man.
Blah, blah, blah.
We believe that all men are created equal.
The magnificent mosaic that is America. From Radio Beacon to Radio Beacon. I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe it.
Help is on the way.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show. Turn up your mind.
Breaking news from the Supreme Court. The High Court has just declined to stop a ban of TikTok, now set to take effect on Sunday.
Uh-oh.
TikTok is, of course, one of the most popular social media apps in this country with some 170 million users in the U.S. alone.
Uh-oh.
But the app is owned by a Chinese company, and lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have said that it is a national security risk. Today's decision comes after the court heard arguments from TikTok against the law that essentially forces its parent company, ByteDance, to sell its operations here.
Bite me, it should be called. Thank you. So this is, happy Friday, you bastards. So this is where we are now. We're at a point where, and here's the mechanics of what happened with TikTok. And it's important that you remember this. It's a law. It was legislation. It was a piece of legislation that went through the House in a bipartisan manner to ban TikTok from not, you know, you can't tell China what to do, right? I mean, that's self-evident. So how do you say to TikTok, you're banned here? Okay, so the way that you do that is you say, hey, Google Play, or hey, Oracle Cloud Services, or hey, Apple, you can't have the TikTok app for download in your stores because you are American companies and we're legislating that you can't have this spy tool, because that's what the legislation, asserted. It wasn't alleged anymore. You can't have this spy tool that collects against Americans for the benefit of the Chinese communist government. You can't have that application, that app, in your store. In your store, if you do, you're helping a hostile nation, a nation whose interests are not aligned with ours. A nation whose, technology is taking information, data from our users here in this country. You can't have that there. And if you do have that there in your store, you will be fined for doing so. You will be fined $5,000 per user every day. Do you understand what that amount could be? Or because I don't know exactly how many American users there are of TikTok. It's rumored to be 170 million, I guess. So that's a lot, right? 170 million times 5,000. Will your calculator do that for you? It's $850 billion. It's $850 billion. It's almost $1 trillion in fines to have that in your app store, whether you're Google Play, Oracle's cloud, or Apple. So when this piece of legislation passed the House, it then moved on to the Senate. It passed the Senate in a bipartisan fashion as well. This is important to understand. And the reason why I think there was bipartisan support for it isn't because the Republicans suddenly love their country. It's because Donald Trump in his first term was totally into banning TikTok. It was his position on TikTok. It wasn't until after this year election where he realized that he had, he logged on and signed up for TikTok. And he, shortly thereafter ended up with 14 million followers. And so he said, oh, I have a soft spot for TikTok. In fact, it's so soft, his spot, which, you could just imagine, this is what makes him so mean, I think, that his spot is so soft. And that soft spot that he has for TikTok is so soft that he invited the CEO of TikTok, truly, to come to his inaugural. So it's going to be sort of like the head of the five families, sitting there, because he invited Zuckerberg, he invited, of course, Elon, he invited, Bezos, He invited like the whole heads of the five tech families. And it is the heads of the five families. I want you to think of it that way because that's the way it is. This is just exactly what Biden was telling you about in his farewell address from the Oval yesterday. He was telling you that this is the end of the experiment of, you know, I would say regulated capitalism. I don't know how else to, you know, express what we have had working on our behalf for the last, I'll say, 50 years, okay? So it was regulated capitalism. It wasn't communism. It wasn't socialism. It was some sort of capitalism, but it wasn't free and open and, you know, willy-nilly. It was regulated, and it was regulated for the benefit of ordinary people against robber barons, the heads of the five families, the robber barons who were in charge of this here economy, like, you know, Grover Cleveland's era, like from 1860, well, I'll say after Reconstruction. So 1877 to about 1902, something like that there. And you know what ended it? You know what brought it to a screeching halt? The head of the five families controlling everything, divvying up these here United States into, okay, you do agriculture. Okay, you do meat packing. Okay, you do the oil business. Okay, you do the rail lines. Okay, you do banking. That's kind of how it was. And what ended it was a lot of people, ordinary Americans, working very hard for the benefit of these robber barons, getting nothing in return for it. I mean, like nothing. They were dying on the job. Their workplaces weren't safe. 22,000 people died building the railroads. I don't know. Donald Trump's very obsessed with, you know, how many French people died building the Panama Canal. But he's not really fascinated by how many people died building this country. However, when people started to die in the construction of this country, in the building of this country, and not getting wages that were commensurate with the sacrifice that they were making, that their families were making, living in company camps and getting paid in company chit. You have to be careful when you say that. They organized. And it was, in fact, labor unions that made all the difference in the way the middle class was able to grow and be a thing in this country. And that is why Biden has a soft spot for working people who ended the Gilded Age, which is the word itself, the words itself, Gilded Age, is a Mark Twain expression. And it's meant to, you know, invoke satire, mean to point and laugh at something that was trying to be called the Golden Age, which is what Trump is calling these next 4 years, the Golden Age. It's going to be the Gilded Age. And so if past is prologue, which it is, I suggest you learn a little something about the robber barons. I suggest you learn a little something about the Gilded Age. I suggest you learn something about grift and graft and, you know, paying off the people at Tammany Hall, okay, and understanding what you have to do to play. And, of course, it's payola. You have to pay to play. And we've been going over this, you know, for the past, I'll say, you know, since November, since the results of the election, right? And then, of course, finally, Joe Biden gave a farewell address from the Oval Office where he talked about how fragile this democracy is and how it succumbs to oligarchy if there's no guardrails. Donald Trump is putting these loyalists, these people who are incompetent, the kakistocracy is being compiled and put together. Kakistocracy meaning the worst people to hold these jobs. He's literally going out and seeking the drunkest people, the worst people, the most inexperienced people. I mean, did I actually sit there and watch Kristi Noem try to pretend like she should be in charge of immigration policy at the Department of Homeland Security? The girl is from a Dakota. Okay, she's lucky enough that we have two Dakotas, okay? She's from a Dakota. They don't have a border with immigration problems. She doesn't know anything about immigration law. She doesn't know anything about homeland security. She's there as window dressing. And yes, you could lick her lips and stick her to the wall now. She's become a blow-up doll to appeal to Donald Trump's tastes. It's very sick. But she's gonna defer to Tom Homan.